T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'll let that sit there for a second. All right, Ira Winterman going to join us now on the Toilet of Hollywood Hotline. Talk a little bit about what happened last night in the awards, NBA awards last night, and we're a couple days away from the madness beginning in the NBA. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen, and I'll let the song thing just sort of go through and leave it at that.
That's it. Our first, actually, I wanted to start with the Udonis Haslem Instagram post.
Okay. Udonis Haslem beef.
Omar is saying it's a direct shot at you. Your reaction is what?
I find that hard to believe, Omar, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I just wrote a story that Pat Riley said Udonis can do whatever he wants, and I just raised the sort of pluses and minuses and left it at that.
You raised concern about his playing ability.
Okay, here's the thing. I didn't, though. And matter of fact, I'm going to put it in another place and let you start a beef this way.
Do it.
And you know I'm good at starting beefs.
Yeah. Udonis Haslem played 70 minutes last season, all of last season, Omar. He played 30 minutes in the final game of the season, a 30-point blowout loss in Brooklyn, okay? So we know all of that was in place. Here's my question to you. That means Eric Spoelstra had faith enough to play Udonis Haslem in 40 minutes over the first 81 games of the season. That being the case, where's the real beef? If Udonis Haslem in his Instagram post can say, I can still get a double-double without even thinking about it.
Come on. Shot at Spoelstra.
God bless him on that. So here's the deal. He wants to come back thinking he can play, and maybe he could, and I'm going to say anything about that. And his coach is the one who let him essentially average half a minute a game over the season's first 81 games. That's the whole issue there. Omar, it sounds like there's a specific individual short-term skill he has, like John Denny. He's a long snapper. He snaps, I don't know, 5 times a game or whatever, unless you're the Dolphins, then 10 times a game. And that's it. You know, it has a relatively
limited role. He's an enforcer.
Excuse me?
He's an enforcer.
Okay. But you can't enforce from the bench.
No.
You can't enforce with a – I mean, I doubt I'm going to ever get this headline. Vicious towel waved by Haslem sends message. You're just not going to go there. So my whole point on this is – and look, I appreciate who he is. I love who he is. I think what he has done for this franchise is terrific. But every single thing that he wants to do and can still can contribute and be allowed to contribute – also would work as an assistant coach. I agree, being in the locker room where the coaches aren't there and no one's there, that it does matter, it does help to have someone like that to sort of have a player's type voice. But I think at some point you have to not look at me or what's written or even the commenters on Instagram.
Hey, they need fuel, Ira. You know they need fuel.
Believe me, I'm fuel. I'm like rocket fuel for this team now. For 32 years. Don't hit yourself on that. And I can tell you plenty of stories on other stuff like that. But at some point, here's my question. If we're going to ask Eric Spoelstra, who was not made available in the wake of this, whether you're going to bring Udonis Haslem back, question two is going to be, matter of fact, Omar, I'm going to let you fill in the answer because you know coach speak as well as anyone. You've dealt with some of the greatest coach speakers in the last 6-7 years.
Failing forward fast.
So when we are going to ask Eric Spoelstra, if Udonis Haslem, this to you, Omar, and you're Eric Spoelstra, congratulations. If Udonis Haslem is going to come back, will you play him next season? Omar, your answer is Eric Spoelstra would be what?
It really depends on the lineup and the matchups that I've got. And, you know, we're going to take it on a case-by-case situation. But, you know, UD's really here to create a culture and create an environment that, you know, set the tone for everybody else in the organization.
Ira, that was pretty good coach speak by Omar. That was pretty good.
I think he got it all 7 major, like, you know, coach,
all the cliches. Yep.
So, you know, but and that's the thing. And here's the other point I brought up. And again, I just brought up the numbers that if you look at the number of returning veterans, the number of two-way contract guys who were converted over and having 2 draft choices, assuming they're going to carry 14 and not 15 because they're hard up against the tax, it leaves you one more roster spot. And Pat Riley told us during Tyler Hero's introduction the other day that this is just the start of replenishing shooting. Remember, they lost Tyler Johnson, they lost Wayne Ellington, they lost Rodney Magruder. So if you're going to add another shooter, which I would embrace to this roster, then someone goes. So does Duncan Robinson and Yante Maiden go? And yes, you can make all the arguments, screw either of those guys. They're not like Mr. 305. They haven't been around for 15, 16 years.
He's Mr. 305, Ira.
But at some point, you have to move on.
Not when you owe him a lifetime contract for fitting in.
And here's part two of that. An assistant coach might make, let's say $400,000 or somewhere in that range. The NBA minimum salary is $2.3 million. Udonis Haslam's not stupid. He knows, which is more and where the comfortable living is. I just think if he wants to retire on his own terms, God bless him. But get out in front of this. Because, Omar, free agency starts on Sunday. The signing period for free agency starts on July 6th. So it's going to be a constant question, and for this reason. The Miami Heat right now have one free agent. Dragic and Whiteside have opted back in. They're done. Dwayne Wade has retired. He's done. So the only name on that free agent list that I run ad nauseum at SunSentinel.com under Miami Heat is going to be Udonis Haslam. Let him make up his mind if it is his own decision. I would think 16 years in, knowing what the grind is, knowing roughly how this season is going to set up and who his teammates are going to be, he should know what the situation is. If not, if it remains out there in the ether, how could it not be a story?
Here's my question. What's the worst Ira Winderman Heat beef that you've had?
It was with Udonis Haslam. I told this story a bunch of times here. This was about Haslam 3 years in.
You got history.
I did those stupid, insipid report cards, Omar, that you know never work. They never work. Okay, I know you have to do them every game, but they never work. So I gave him
The guy who has to do them every game is listening to complaints of the guy who does them at mid-season. Yeah, go. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't even do them then anymore. Okay, so I gave Udonis Haslam a C, and I said if only he was a couple of inches taller. For whatever reason, it hit a nerve. We're in Atlanta at Phillips Arena. His agent at the time, he has a different agent now, was there. And basically Udonis Haslam said, keep that SOB, and I think he used a harsher words than that, away from me or I'm going to kill him. And just because I wrote this midseason report card, we've got it over that.
That's your biggest beef, Ira?
That, and the other one is with Alonzo Mourning when he didn't fully get it, and all of a sudden he tells everyone, turn those tape recorders off. And he rips every NBA writer in Miami who had ever covered him, telling us we don't know anything, including he actually named the names of beat writers who weren't even on the beat anymore.
Wow.
Just to include everyone. Now, Zoe changed. I think, Omar, you were still covering the Heat at this point. There used to be Zoe days. Zoe would talk once a week. It didn't matter if they had four more games or two more games. You literally, if you wanted to talk to him about Friday's Knicks game and Zoe day was on Tuesday, even though there might have been 2 days in between, that was your one bite at the apple. Or, as Omar calls, typical NFL, get your quarterback once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Those kind of things, but never physical. I've never been Tim Healy'd. I haven't had anything like that. So compared to what's going on with the Mets these days, I think I'm in pretty good shape.
Well, go over across the city a little bit to Madison Square Garden. What do you think's going on there with the Knicks right now? Telling the Daily News or basically not inviting them to the press conference. Dolan and the Knicks were fined, $50,000 for that. Are the Knicks just basically going to be buried as a franchise until that guy sells the team?
Well, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. And this is what saved James Dolan is this. Because they're an iconic franchise. And guys, we are seeing it this offseason. Think about all the Lakers' missteps and sort of the idiocy and everything that's gone wrong, and yet somehow they come through the other side with Anthony Davis, LeBron.
All's forgotten.
And probably you'll still get someone else. The Celtics, you could make an argument. Oh, Danny Ainge is a genius. He traded all those draft choices for Garnett and Pierce. And then all the draft choices didn't turn into a whole heck of a lot. He gave up draft choices for Kyrie Irving, the pick that turned into Colin Sexton. Now Kyrie Irving's leaving for nothing in return. So a lot of times, it doesn't really matter who's in charge. I think in all sports, the iconic franchises somehow, because they're iconic, always wind up back on top or at least viewed by players at someplace special. And let's face it, guys. When you walk into the Garden, it still feels like a cathedral of basketball.
Now, but here's the thing, Ira. does a player want all that pressure of New York and carrying this iconic franchise, which has been crap for the last decade? Does a Kevin Durant want that pressure?
Oh, I think Kevin Durant wants one thing. He wants to be the man again. Because when he was in Oklahoma City and you had Harden and you had Westbrook and you had Ibaka, he was part of a collective, a very good collective. When he went to Golden State, it was the same thing. He is so desperate that he doesn't want to see come see the Splash Brothers and Durant. Come see James Harden and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. He wants his name alone on the marquee. He's done the whole team building. He's done the part of a collective thing.
So you think he's done winning championships for this?
I think once you get your championships and get a couple of championships. Okay. I think this is true in most sports. I know players give the BS about I want another ring. It means everything. I think it just happens that Tom Brady keeps winning them, but I even wonder about him if at the end of the day he falls short, if it's like it would have been earlier in his career. I think these players have multiple goals. I think a championship is one of them. I think having the highest or a very high salary is another of them.
That's 1A.
And I think being cast as the man, being catered to and kowtowed to, you'd be surprised how much that means to these players, and you'd be surprised how much teams cater and kowtow to them because they know how much that means to them.
Ira, last night, Greek Freak got MVP. Did that surprise you?
Sure. Well, you know, honestly, my choice was James Harden for this reason. James Harden did one thing better than any player in the NBA this year, scoring. By a wide margin. The last time I checked, no matter how many rebounds, block shots, assists, steals, deflections you got, the team with the most points won the game. I think James Harden does the single most important thing in this league the best. I can't stand watching him. I can't stand the style of game he plays. But he does what you need to do, and that score points. I think James Harden, what he did this year, his domination of the ball, scoring whenever he wanted, I think he did the most valuable thing in the NBA, not to say that Giannis Antetokounmpo did not have an MVP-level season.
Yeah, I mean, the team was the best in the NBA, and I mean, I thought about a month and a half ago that the Greek Freak was going to win it, but the James Harden putting up the points that he did, and there was a very big margin in scoring, and we never usually see that. Sometimes it comes out to the last two games of the season where a guy's got to score like 8 more points than the other guy to win that scoring title. A guy would have to score 800 points in the last two games to catch up to James Harden there at the end.
I think it also, because it was a media vote, was a referendum on playing style. None of us like that. We all respect our sport and want to see our sport be as attractive and as enjoyable as possible. There is nothing enjoyable about a guy pounding the ball 55 times, leaning in, kicking his foot out, drawing a foul, and going to the foul line. So I think a lot of that, and there was a huge disparity in first place votes. I think it was almost 3-1 for Giannis, because I think when people looked at Harden, it's a very unpalatable style of basketball.
All right, real quickly, rapid fire player, and where you think he's going to sign in the next couple days, Kevin Durant.
Knicks.
Wow. Kyrie Irving.
Brooklyn.
Klay Thompson.
Golden State.
Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh,
yeah.
Short-term, 2-year deal, one and an option in Toronto.
Okay, I think that it's actually a pretty good, because that's the one I knew that you struggle with, because
we just don't know. And Zach, if they didn't have the championship parade just a week ago, I think it would be different. I think what really happens is there's almost a recency bias. The fact that he's still sort of celebrating the moment. If his team would have gone out early in the playoffs, and the players whose teams did go out early in the playoffs, like a Jimmy Butler and a Tobias Harris, I think a Kemba Walker not making it, it changes it. You get removed from your team, from your teammates, from the vibe, from the good feeling. I think this could not work out any better for the Raptors to have a championship parade one Monday and 2 weeks later have a chance to offer a contract to Kawhi. If the finals would have ended early and there was more time and more billboards in L.A., I think that might have sort of swayed things a little bit also.
And the last two guys I was going to ask you would be Jimmy Butler and now I'm brain farting. And who else?
Udonis Haslam.
Not Udonis Haslam. Jimmy Butler, where does he end up?
Jimmy Butler, I think, still has a decent chance for the Lakers. I don't think he has to be maximum. I don't think it worked out great in Philadelphia. I think Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are very hard teammates to play with because of their unique playing style with Simmons, unique personality with Embiid. And Kemba Walker could be the swing guy and
might
wind up in
the
U.S. I was thinking that because all these K's might wind up in New York. I was really scared when free agency started and it was just Kawhi, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant. I was going, oh, the KKK free agency. And I said, yeah, not a good idea. Thankfully, we've added Kemba and a couple of other K's in there, so I feel much more comfortable.
Yeah, easier to write about now these days also. Ira, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it, as always.
Please don't put this on the podcast because I don't want Udonis to hear it.
He'll find it somehow.
You know that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.